everyone. Welcome to Ringside Rundown Podcast, brought to you by TWM.news. It is the wrestling show where I and Shay answer your questions about everything wrestling. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on?
Not much. It's always very weird when we get these episodes on Tuesdays, but, you know, we have to do what must be done, and here we are.
The people request that we give them some content, so we have to do that.
And honestly, it was almost kind of a blessing in disguise, too, because we had a pretty good amount of questions when we were originally going to record on Sunday, but then since we delayed it, we've got even more questions, so I'd say it worked out. So
it worked out, yes. For those that are just listening, new listeners out there, this is a wrestling podcast where Shay and I answer listen to this. Listener questions about anything under the sun involving wrestling, whether it be questions, comments, opinions, rants. And like she said, this week's mailbag is stuffed. I assumed it was going to be that way because we are on the road to WrestleMania. It's always a fun time because things get amped up. Not only that, but this Sunday is AEW Revolution pay-per-view. So it should be a good time. I'm expecting a big bag of questions.
Oh, and we do. I was looking through most of them before we came on the air, and we've got quite a few, a wide variety of questions, WWE and AEW alike.
I am excited to get into it. So why don't we do this? No further roadblocks ahead. Let's see what we got on the docket. What's our first question of the night?
All right, so we're going to start off with Jeff's questions. So, Jeff, thank you. That was his questions were a product of us waiting a few extra days because he sent them in this afternoon. So we are going to start off with, we're actually not going to go anywhere near AEW or WWE to start off with. We're going to go to New Japan because his first question is actually just a statement for both of us. He said Mercedes Moné's contract is apparently a 3-match contract, with her last two matches being against Azumi and Mayu Iwatani. So,
oh, interesting.
Those would be some pretty good matches, I'd say. So I think we have a couple, if I remember correctly, we do have a couple other questions that have to do with Mercedes and New Japan. So we will get into those shortly. But his first question is, I was wondering how long it was going to take because it made me a little sad yesterday. Why would WWE put the women's tag titles on Lita and Becky Lynch? Dakota and Io were great champs. Side question also, why the hell does Io always have to be the one eating the losses? I feel like I kind of have that same question when it's Dakota, because for a while it was Dakota eating the pins. But I don't. Oh, I wish I had an actual answer to that question, because I don't know why they gave it to Lita and Becky, to be honest, because I thought, and I think everybody was under the impression, it was going to be Dakota and Io against Shayna and Ronda, so maybe a three-way?
I'm thinking they're just going to do damage control versus Lita, Becky, and Trish at WrestleMania.
Well, that makes me a little sad, because I was hoping both Dakota and Shayna would get their WrestleMania moments, but maybe, just maybe, we might get Ronda versus Shayna, possibly.
I don't know. I think they're still doing the whole thing where they're beating up on the tag team division. Now Ronda's taking shots on the internet about the women's tag team division, saying that it's very, it's basically lacking any depth or anything like that.
I mean,
she's not wrong.
She isn't.
She's not wrong. But again, this begs the question, like, why give it to Lita and Becky? Do they really need the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships? I don't know. That's my question. I don't know if they really need the championships to elevate their status. I'm sure they could have took the loss. And if they would have took the loss, it would have helped damage control look a lot stronger.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess, I think Becky's now a Triple Crown champion, if I remember correctly, after winning that. So, I mean, like, good for her, but also, why? Why do they have to keep doing this to me? Because it was just, I don't know. It sucks, because it's like, Damage Control was the one, like, focal point and one, like, consistent presence in the women's division. So the fact that you took the titles off of them, again, makes me sad, because I feel like they've had just every time they've lost the titles or should have won them and didn't win them, they've all just always been under very questionable circumstances. Like, everyone expected them to win the tournament, and they didn't. And for some reason, we had Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez as champs, because, you know, that made sense. And then you had them lose the titles right before Clash at the Castle, so or after Clash at the Castle. So it's like, what is going on? I would love to know.
Yeah, they're kind of just playing hot potato with the titles, and I like I always remain that losing to losing in terms of Becky and Lita losing would have done magic for Damage Control, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai, rather than them winning.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they could, still could have set up the my prediction of the six-woman tag match with Trish Stratus. It wouldn't hurt at all, you know?
Yeah.
But now it kind of just was like... Why? Because the thing is, it's just like, why? You know, because they kind of messed up having Trish come back when they were supposed to do it during the time that they were in Canada, which would have been perfect, you know, but for some reason they delayed it until now. She was backstage during all those Canada shows. She was backstage ready to go.
And we didn't get her for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know, but again, I'm confused as to why they gave the belts to Becky and Lita. The match wasn't too bad. It was okay. It was serviceable. But for me, I'm just confused by the outcome.
You and me both, and Jeff too, and probably a lot of other people listening. But funny that you mentioned the match itself, because Jeff would like to know, was it just him, or did Lita look really horrible in that match? She seemed so slow and her timing was way off. Nothing seemed fluid to him at all. Yeah, it was a little rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
Becky did the heavy lifting.
Yeah, which probably makes a lot of sense if you think about it. We don't know what Lita's training regimen was like, or what it's going to be like, how long they plan on having them carry these titles and having her in the picture. But like I said, I mean, the match didn't blow me away. It didn't rock my socks off or anything like that. Like I said, it was serviceable.
It was functional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it could have been better, but for what the cards we were dealt, sure. It wasn't offensively bad. Let's just
No, it definitely wasn't.
So it was funny that you mentioned the poll on our Twitter account this afternoon about Lashley Lesnar and Omos, because Jeff would like to know, who cares about that match? To him, that is the worst imaginable match for WrestleMania. I mean, I did not personally participate in the poll, but I can at least tell you, I am not really
not excited for it at all.
No, because I'm already, as we know, not a Lesnar fan as it is, but I'm supposed to care because it's Omos. Like, no, it's just not. Well, not
out of the votes that are coming in, because the poll is still active, so you can go vote if you go to our Twitter at Ringside Rundown. I asked you guys what your excitement level for Omos versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, between really excited, someone excited, and not excited. And shockingly, 86% of the votes that have come in for not excited.
Oh, wow. Who would have thought?
Which is, I'm not surprised, because I'm not excited for it at all. But it just, it makes me wonder about the thinking process for all the good that WWE is doing now with the with the product. Why throw this little wrench in there that makes you go, I don't know if I want to see that? Because to me, it's just going to be a bumbling mess, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Lesnar isn't a ring general by any means, and Omos is just kind of there. So it's like, I guess they're just resting on the fact that they're two big guys that are just going to try and run each other over, I guess. But you can't just expect people to care about that just because they're two big guys. Like,
and that's my exact thought process too, was this is just WWE's fixation upon two really big men just bumbling into each other.
And to think we almost could have got Lesnar and Wyatt instead.
I would have.
Just for the mind games alone, that would have been fun.
That would have been fun. That would have been interesting. You know, but I'm just thinking, like, what is this fixation of having two of your biggest competitors go at it? I mean, it's going to be a mess. There's not going to be any finesse to it. Not that we expect finesse out of either of these men, but I mean, they're very limited. It's not like they offer us anything of substance, you know. I never said, man, look at that move that Omos did, you know, like,
yeah, really,
that's a crazy big boot to the face that Omos did, that I've never seen before.
Yeah, that literally every other wrestler uses. Yeah,
right, you know. So it's just gonna be, I pray that the match doesn't go past 5 minutes. I just don't get the fixation of, let's take two big giant dudes and just have them run into each other, like you said.
Yeah, I don't get it. So needless to say, I think we agree with our followers, and we are not excited at all. So
not
at all. All right, so there are rumors abound that both Jay White and potentially Kenny Omega could eventually be WWE bound. So do we see this happening? And if so, what are our dream matches for both of them in WWE?
Do I see it happening? Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like more for Jay White than Kenny, but stranger things have happened. Did we really expect Cody Rhodes to go back to WWE?
Yeah, it seems like the foundation of what All Elite Wrestling it was supposed to be is starting to crumble.
Yeah, and that's not a good sign at all. I mean, if they both would go to WWE, that would be very interesting. I feel like dream matches, I feel like for Kenny, you would have to put him up against Roman just for the star power alone.
That was my pick.
Of course.
That was my pick.
Who else?
I would love to see Jay White versus Seth Rollins. I think those are two evenly matched competitors that could definitely tear the house down for sure.
Yeah, that'd be a good one too. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I'm sure there is. I'm just, my brain's just been pudding today. So, I feel like some of the ones I can at least think of, I have a feeling they probably already happened before, so that doesn't help.
Could you imagine Kenny versus Cody in the WWE ring?
Oh my God, I think the internet Twitter community would explode.
That would. How do you avoid mentioning, hey, these two guys kind of help set up a new company rival against us,
and we took them from them,
and yeah, now they're here.
Yeah, that would be something. Yeah, I feel like all I can think of right now is like what you said, Seth and Roman, for either one of them, really. You put any, like, Roman or Seth against either one of those two, and it would be a fantastic match. So, yeah, we can go with that.
For sure. The thing about Seth and Roman is, like, they're two main anchors. You can consider them anchors, much like Hogan and Savage, Cena and Orton. You know, Roman and Seth, you could look at those guys that are like generational anchors for the WWE, you know, so it makes a lot of sense that those two guys are high up on our list.
Exactly. And I feel like, again, I think like most of the ones in WWE, one of them have probably already wrestled the other. So it's like, yeah, it's a little hard to figure any other names, but yeah, definitely Roman and Seth for sure. I would agree. Yeah,
for sure.
Let's see. So going back to Mercedes Moné, once she is done in Japan, where do you think she goes?
I honestly see her going to AEW. I can see her going to AEW just to test the waters and say, hey, I did it. I basically went to Japan. I've wrestled in WWE. I can take over AEW, no problem. That's the problem, is that like she holds so much star power. You bring her in and it's just like everybody better step up their game to get on her level, you know, especially after what she's been doing in Japan. You know, I'm sure she's going to want more than just those three matches in Japan. So she's going to definitely hone her craft there for sure. And then she's going to go to AEW, and it's going to force everybody to step up their game.
I would think so.
I would hope so, but because there's, I feel like for as bloated as a roster AEW has, they really don't have a refined women's division.
No, they don't.
You know, I think they need to refine the women's division and kind of flush out who's on the top end of that division and who's in the middle and who's on the lower end. But again, I say Mercedes Moné, because she's going to go in there and she's just going to, you got to get on her level. You got to get on her level.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, imagine her and Britt fighting over who's really the face of the division. That'd be a good feud, I think.
I think that'd be a good feud, especially the promos.
Ooh, they would be something else, that's for sure. I feel like, though, the only problem is we kind of have to, and I don't think we really have a question about it, but this is, I feel like, a good kind of segue to it. We have to be very careful that we don't overshadow the actual champion, because they're walking a very fine line right now where you have Jamie as the champ, but you also kind of have Britt being still the focal point of this whole thing. So we got to be careful here, because one has the belt and one doesn't. And the one that doesn't have the belt's the one that's kind of being like a star to a degree. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm not complaining, but also I would like to see more of Jamie, please.
Yeah. Have her kind of differentiate herself from Britt. You know, she's the champion. She should be elevated a little bit more.
I completely agree on that one. All right. So this question him and I actually talked about before we came on here, because it's a very loaded question, I think, just for the fact of what it's all about, because he would like to know that supposedly New Japan had said that Mercedes Moné brings more prestige to the IWGP women's title than Kairi. So do we agree that she brings more prestige to that title? I think it's a backhanded compliment in a way of like, yeah, it compliments Mercedes, but just kind of slaps Kairi in the face, which is how I kind of interpreted it. I'm like, you could have maybe worded that a little differently instead of saying, yeah, our first champ was kind of shit, so, you know, we had to put it on someone who was more important. It's like, yeah, that wasn't a very well-worded statement, I think, because it's so tough, because I think they see how big of a star she was in WWE and like the States and whatever, but Jeff has alluded to the fact that just because you're a big megastar in the States doesn't mean that's going to translate over to Japan. So does she bring more prestige from a US wrestling fan standpoint? You could argue that, but you could also argue that if you're a fan of like Joshi wrestling, like Jeff is, that Kairi brought more prestige to the title. So I guess it really just depends on what your viewpoint is, but as problematic as Mercedes can be, you can't really deny the talent. So she brings a big name to the title. Prestige, I couldn't really say one way or another, because I feel like Kairi was a very good first champion. She was probably the right choice as your first champion, but yeah, I just didn't really like how they worded that statement, because that was just kind of like a, yeah, Mercedes is definitely an upgrade over Kairi. It's like, that's just kind of not a fan of that.
Yeah, like you said, it was kind of a backhanded compliment, you know? Like, it's like, you were good, but you're not as good as this person here. It's weird. I don't think that she brings any prestige to the title.
Yeah.
But she definitely elevates it. It all depends on, is her style and is what she's used to doing and what she's doing in the ring, does it translate to the Japanese audience? Because it's a different style compared to the WWE style. So can she take what she learned in WWE, incorporate it with her new style where she has a little bit of freedom to do her thing in the ring and doesn't have to be so constrained to certain moves at certain times? You know, can she turn that around and turn that into a prosperous career in Japan and have the fans love her? That's the real question. That's the real question. It's only going to take some time. So I'm interested in seeing what type of competitors she takes up against and how long is her time going to be in Japan before she moves on to something else.
Yeah, and we also, him and I also kind of touched on the fact that it's all, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's all about politics and money, because he pointed out that Kairi beat Mayu Iwatani in the first place for the title because Mayu was having like a financial dispute over her contract. So why would you give the title to somebody who's trying to make more money, God forbid? And then obviously Mercedes beat Kairi because I thought she was more prestigious for the title than Kairi was. So unfortunately, it does kind of boil down to who's going to make us the most money and who's not going to cost us the most money. So, yeah.
I mean, once they announced her for that match against Kairi for the show in San Jose, that thing sold out, man. So it's like...
And that was the only match they announced.
Yeah, and it's like, there's the evidence. There's what you need.
Yeah. You know, so. Well, it was... It's tough, too, because you kind of have to look at it from a certain perspective, because if that show would have been in Japan, it might have been different.
That's true.
You had the show in the States, so of course people knew Kairi, and of course people knew Mercedes, so it's like, they knew what they were doing, because again, I feel like if they would have put that overseas, it might not have sold out as quickly as it did, especially for that being the only advertised match at the time. So, yeah, you kind of have to put that one in its own like vacuum, but I mean, it is what it is. They knew what they were doing. They weren't stupid. Unfortunately. That's the truth. All right, so this is kind of a fun one. He would like to know, would either of us want to come down to North Carolina and join him to watch a Deadlock Pro Wrestling show someday? Well, of course.
Of course. That's what I want to do, is just travel the States and watch wrestling.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll definitely have to work on that. We still need to figure out WrestleMania next year, because it's in Philly, so
yeah,
that's our shot. So
that's our sign right there.
Yeah, so Jeff, get up here too, and then we'll all go to WrestleMania, and then we'll go down to North Carolina for Deadlock. So we'll do it someday.
Good times.
So this one I liked because I could add a little bit to it, but we'll start with the original question: was who do we think has the coolest entrance music in WWE right now?
Ooh,
I always like these kind of questions because. For full transparency, on my Spotify, I have a playlist of just wrestling songs, so I always wish somebody would ask a question like this. For me personally, I feel like the one that I always kind of go back to on my playlist would be Zoe Stark's song.
Really?
Because, I mean, as someone who listens to punk rock and like pop punk and like rock music, that one's just like very good. I feel like Dakota Kai's theme was so good too. I don't really like the remix version of it, kind of like when she went crazy.
They remixed a lot of themes this past year.
Yeah, and they got rid of a lot of good ones too, and it made me sad because, I mean, if Jeff would have asked us this question maybe like a year or two ago, I would have easily said Rhea Ripley's song, Brutality. I would have said Shayna's song because, for God's sake, it's actually my ringtone on my phone, and that's not even a joke. It is. Again, Dakota's song. The remix isn't like bad. I just like the original version of it.
You know it's a bad remix? They remixed Johnny Gargano's.
Oh yeah, I hate it. I don't like it at all. It's so bad. It's
so bad.
It's bad. I don't like it. It's
so bad. But on the flip side, I'm glad that they gave Sami Zayn his original theme back.
I know.
That used to be a ringtone on my phone.
Yeah,
you want to talk about ringtones?
Yeah, obviously. Well, technically, I have two wrestling ringtones on my... It used to be Paige's old song, Soraya's song when she was Paige. So there was that, and then I changed it to Shayna's. And then my mom's ringtone is Malachi's theme from when he was in WWE.
Nice.
So there's that. Yeah, I feel like it had something to do with like the music producers. They just don't use them anymore, and obviously that costs money, so I get it, but also... Damn it, why'd you have to get rid of everybody's songs? you know, just for the hell of it, I would like to add on to Jeff's question, and let's branch over to AEW, because I have quite a few songs I like from AEW's, which namely is Kings of the Black Throne song.
Love it.
It's so good. I didn't like Statlander's new theme at first, but it grew on me, so that gets played a lot in my wrestling playlist. FTR's too. It's just so damn catchy. obviously Adam Cole's, you have to say Adams, because that's like, duh.
Yeah.
Is there an obscure one that I'm not thinking of? Oh, Malachi's one by himself. His, what's the name of it? You know which one I'm talking about, though. The one he comes out to by himself. That one's really good, even though I don't know what they're saying at all. It's funny, because if you actually go onto Spotify, I'm sure you've looked it up. Like, the song's like 10 minutes long in and of itself. And his part doesn't even come in until, like, maybe the 7th minute of the song.
Jeez.
Yeah. Like, the first part of it, I'm just like, you don't even hear anything. And then it just kind of slowly builds up into, like, his actual part of the song. But I just end up skipping to that part anyway. But, so yeah, I'd say those are pretty good. Just making sure there was any other one that I had missed. You know, very random one is Swerve's. I like Swerve's song.
Yeah, Swerve's is good. I like catchy. Swerve's. Yeah, I have on my list would be Sami Zayn's original theme, which I love. I'm a big fan of Cody's theme. I think Cody's theme is a perfect wrestling entrance theme.
Oh yeah.
You know, the crowd can get into it. And speaking of a theme that the crowd gets into, Seth Rollins. And that is a wrestling theme in itself as well. You know, the crowd, anything that the crowd can get into, I'm all about.
I honest to God thought you were about to say Judas, and I would have been like, all right, let's.
Yeah, that'd be if I was trolling you.
That one's kind of.
No, not it. anything but Judas, because Judas makes no sense, because you're not supposed to sing it.
Yeah, and honestly, I've kind of just, I've grown over it. Just over it.
It was cool the first month.
It was cool until he started just like not going away, and then it's like, okay, that's what it is. whatever. But yeah, no, I'm not a fan. Not anymore anyway. I'm not gonna lie and say that like last year or whatever I wasn't singing it in the crowd. Now it's just like, whatever, it's there.
Japan has some great themes too.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Japan has some great themes. You've seen Okada's theme, Naito's theme, Tanahashi. I mean, even Shinsuke Nakamura's theme in Japan was just fire, was just banger. So Japan has some great ones as well.
Yeah, there's so many good wrestling songs. Like I said, when you have a whole wrestling like playlist on Spotify, that should tell you something.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a shame that some of them cannot be played anymore, because like I can't play Undisputed Era's song anymore. I can't play.
That was such a good theme too.
I know. I have that on my phone too. I just don't have it as anyone's like contact. I can't listen to Malachi's old song. I can't listen to like Adam or any of like their newer NXT songs. I'm like, this is kind of sad, but there's still plenty of good ones out there right now. So we can't complain. All right. So far, Jeff is not impressed with the majority of the announced matches for WrestleMania. Do you think WWE will be able to save the show and make people care about certain matches? I mean, a couple of them I'm looking forward to, not gonna lie. Mainly just typical, the women's matches, because I kind of want to see how Bianca can handle this new version of Asuka, and I want to see Rhea kick Charlotte's ass, so... But yeah,
supposedly that's going to be the main event of night one, from what I read on the internet. But don't quote me on it. It's just what the internet says.
Don't cancel Eric, please.
Yes.
But I mean, I hope so, and I hope Rhea wins that damn title, because she never should have lost it the first time they wrestled at WrestleMania. So there's that.
I think it's her time.
I hope so, because I feel like they might burn that arena down if Charlotte wins again. Yeah. So before we get on a rant about that, I mean, Roman versus Cody, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Lesnar and Omos, we don't care about. I think they said at some point it's going to be, what was it, Cena and Austin Theory, and it's like, eh, it's not. Eh, it's fine, I guess. You're probably going to get the six-woman tag with Damage Control and Trish and Lita and Becky, and that'll be fine. I'll just be happy that Dakota gets to be on the card if that's the case. So there's that. Yeah, so not a lot of these are wowing me. I mean, granted, there is only four, I believe, right now officially announced, so we have plenty of time, but still, these are, yeah, some of them are a little, eh. They're not knocking our socks off.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, like, so far, it's a little underwhelming, but WWE always seems to figure out a way to make the card seem super important. And obviously, I'm just waiting to see what happens with the Bloodline. We already know it's going to be Cody versus Roman. But what's going to happen with Sammy? Because that's the whole conundrum there. Is like, Sammy's still pursuing the Bloodline and taking down the Bloodline, but how is he going to do that when it's Cody's turn to take on Roman? Yeah. So that kind of leaves me wondering, is Cody going to actually pull this off from a storyline perspective?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on still, but we still have, what, like 32 days left before the show happens.
Yeah, so, about that.
Yeah, so we got plenty of time to let the card kind of flesh out. I'm still holding out hope that it's going to be better than Lesnar and Omos, so.
Yeah, we're not starting off on a great foot, but there's room for improvement. We'll just put it that way. And Jeff's final question is, where the heck have the OC and AJ Styles been? How does WWE have nothing for them?
Well, AJ Styles broke his ankle.
Did he?
Yeah, he broke his ankle. That's why he's out.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So he's, but it's not one of those, it's one of those, I think they said it didn't require surgery, that it can heal on its own.
That's good.
Yeah, so he's not going to be out too much longer. But I fear without AJ Styles, the OC kind of just flounders.
Yeah, you know? He kind of makes them, which is, that's a very dangerous thing when one person that makes an entire stable, but that's just how it is.
It'd be interesting if they do a lot more stuff with Mia Yim as well. I'd be interested in seeing more Meechan stuff in the OC and solidifying her as a part of the group for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. So hopefully whenever Styles comes back, they'll have something, but yeah, right now it's not looking so good right now. Mostly because of a nice broken ankle.
Not at all. Not at all what you want.
No, not at all. So I believe that was all of Jeff's questions. So thank you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, we're not going to move on to Mom's questions. So thank you. I do find it funny that we've now graduated to, it's more like comments and stuff like that, but it still gets the point across. She said the Wheeler Yuta Orange Cassidy match was very hard hitting. Yeah, I would say.
Yes. I'm very much a fan of Orange Cassidy. He's an anomaly in the sense that he's not the prototypical pro wrestler. He's every sort of pure pro wrestler's sort of anti, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't like him, but he always seems to pull out great performances, and this was no different.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was just, he just finds a way to just get you, and
yeah,
it was a good match, and it broke my heart because I always like best friends, so I'm like, well, this sucks, but
yeah.
And he couldn't even get the hug at the end. It was kind of interesting how Claudio did that, though, or it was kind of like ordering Wheeler to come here. I'm like, that's a little controlling, but
I wonder if that's like a little wrinkle in the story with the Blackpool Combat Club.
Maybe till we see the end of the Blackpool Combat Club, who knows?
Oh no.
Have to find out and see what happens. She thought the MJF promo was A+, unlike the Ricky Stark Jericho promo, which in her opinion was dumb.
That MJF promo was definitely talked about because it was, he does this very well where he can get very real.
Yeah.
And when he drops the whole low-hanging fruit, let me make a joke about this, let me call this mid.
Your sports team sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. When he has a story to tell, he's very, very good. Sometimes those stories are very heart-wrenching. When he talked about, losing his fiance who has left him,
the crowd didn't care,
but that was a very real thing.
Yeah.
That was something that, like, the Dirt Sheets came out and, like, hey, that really happened. Like, she really did leave him.
Yeah, like, and the crowd was like, you deserved it. And I'm like, wow, all right.
You know, and the thing to me is, like, that's such a young person thing to do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
When you get dumped and you get your heart broken, you got to figure out a way to let that anger out, animosity. And mm-hmm. he did it using professional wrestling in his promos. So to me, it's like, I wonder if, like, 8 years down the road, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, he's going to regret going that far and being like something that he should have just forgotten about, you know,
maybe.
But I thought it was a great promo from MJF. When he stays away from that low hanging fruit and the easy stuff that he can skate by on and be MJF, when he can bring it to a different level, he's very good.
Exactly. And the Ricky and Jericho one was predictable. I don't know why at first when Ricky was like, yeah, I have an open contract for anybody, I was kind of hoping it was Adam, but then I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. But then when Jericho came out, I went, I know what we're doing here, but I will give it to Ricky. I love those facial expressions he had after Jericho left and signed the contract. He's like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. I just, it's Jericho.
Yeah, I know. And we all know who's winning that match, so.
Oh, my God.
If it does, I'm going to be angry, but not surprised.
That's what you call disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Angry, but not surprised.
Yeah, literally. It's literally what it is. But it was fine, I guess. It was just there. Again, I think we're just so over Jericho that it doesn't really matter what he does. It's just like, oh, yeah, you're still here, I guess.
Oh, my God.
So before we completely just, like, you know, lose our minds, Mom could not believe that Evil Uno bled before Moxley did. I mean, there was still blood, though, so it's just like... And
Moxley still bled. He ended up bleeding anyway.
It's just... Why do we have to keep talking about this every week? It's just like...
The blood. It's just...
Never stops.
It's comical at this point. Like, Texas Deathmatch, who gives a shit?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, there's going to be blood. There's probably be barbed wire, probably thumbtacks. So it's just tables.
So you're showing me something that I see every week on Dynamite anyway.
Yeah, literally, it's not special anymore. I don't know why they think that this. Oh, it just adds to the drama. It's like, it's a wrestling match. It's not a hardcore match. It's not a holds barred match. It's just a regular wrestling match on Dynamite. You don't need to bleed.
Yeah, it's just like, is his skin really that paper thin that, you know, he bleeds out of nowhere like that? Like,
at this rate, I think it might be.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's...
Poor Renee.
Honestly, she's probably just like, I don't even care at this point. It gets old. It's just very old. What are our thoughts on AEW All Access?
I'm really interested in seeing what it's going to become. It's funny story. Eddie Kingston tweeted about it. He tweeted about how he generally didn't want to be a part of the show because he doesn't want cameras chasing him around. So right. he was purposely dropping F-bombs like crazy. He was trying to get basically casted out of AEW All Access, and it ended up going back to the higher ups, and they're like, we love that guy, put more of him.
And he's like, no, that's not what I wanted.
That's not what I wanted. But I'm interested in seeing what it is, if it's more of a behind the scenes thing. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely interested in that. But it's weird because it's like AEW behind the scenes isn't the most well-run oiled machine.
No. So like, not at all.
So this adds like a layer of chaos behind it. You know, you're going to see a lot of things, hopefully, that, you know, cameras aren't usually supposed to see. So like wrestling pundits and all the old wrestling, old school wrestling guys are going to be like, oh, this sucks, but I'm interested in it.
Yeah, I am too, because, I mean, just seeing Eddie Kingston backstage is already enough of, like, a selling point for me, because I want to see how he acts backstage, because yeah, why not?
Give him his own reality show.
Honestly, and I mean, they pretty much did, to be fair, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I will say, though, when they said, oh, Tony has an announcement, or a major announcement, and then Adam did that, I was like, oh, that's it.
You were underwhelmed.
You could even hear, I think, some of the crowd booed a little bit. At least that was just me. I thought I heard the crowd booing, but it's like, yeah, this is okay, I guess. I was more excited about Adam coming back than the show. Which, I mean, thank God he's coming back, because we need Adam Cole.
Yeah, wrestling needs Adam Cole.
Honestly. So, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm excited to see it, because, again, I want to see, like, the backstage stuff, but also I'm just like, okay, that wasn't really, I wouldn't think a major announcement, but what do I know? And finally, a Uso and Sammy feud. Which Uso sides with Sammy, or do both do? Things are getting personal. Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I can't really see. I don't think you're going to have a Kevin and, like, Sammy and Uso's match at WrestleMania, or maybe they still are. I don't really know.
I'm trying to figure out how can they get to that point with the amount of time that they have left and the amount of days left before the show.
Yeah.
But that's the captivating part about the story, is like it's always changing. There's always layers getting detached and attached onto it. So It's like it's always evolving. This Friday is going to be no different, because Roman's going to be on the show, but also Cody's going to be on the show. You know?
Yeah.
And then you got Kevin Owens like a madman attacking the Usos and Solo Sikoa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we didn't see any Sammy on Raw. Are we going to see him on SmackDown?
Yeah.
So this is some good stuff. It still is good stuff to me.
We need to keep popping the popcorn, because God knows we need it.
I'm waiting for that crescendo of, like, when's it going to come to an end? Like, what's the end game? Because Sammy still wants to take down the Bloodline, which gives me hope that he's still finagling his way into this event. And
yeah.
I don't know if taking the tag team titles is justifiably enough.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of just don't want it to end up being the thing where it kind of takes on a life of its own. And if Sammy doesn't get put into the match with Roman and Cody, people are going to get super pissed and not care about the match.
That's the thing, though. Cody still gets the response. Like, people are excited for the match, I think.
I think so, but
but for the match itself, I think people haven't turned on Cody because of Sammy, which is
not yet,
which was the fear of that everybody had. You know, that people were going to turn on Cody because he's not Sammy.
I'd still have that fear. If I were WWE, I'd still be careful.
Yeah, I'd still be a little. I think they're playing the game the right way.
Because, man, I know, nice joke you did there.
You like how I did that?
Mm-hmm, I see what you did there.
I think they're doing it the right way, because Cody's still getting that response when he comes out. And you see, you know, it's everybody goes nuts for Cody, whether it's adults or the kids or anything like that. So I think WWE really looks at that and says, I think we're okay for now. It just depends on what they do with the storyline that's going to make Sami Zayn look a lot bigger than what he's ever looked at any time in his career.
Exactly. So it's a very unenviable position to be in if you're Triple H, because you could very easily screw this up and people would be pissed.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll have to see how it happens, because they got 30 something days to do it. So good luck, because I think he's going to need it. all right. So I think that's all of Mom's questions. So Mom, thank you again. And now we move on to Jax. So Jack, thank you. We're going to actually start. He actually started off with a rant. So I thought that was a very interesting one.
Can't wait to hear this one.
And it's a very good segue, I think, because his rant is he took some time to digest the Montreal match at Elimination Chamber. To him, it feels like a missed moment. Sammy's story has been compelling over the last few months, dealing with the characters of the bloodline. Cody's story has been about the belt, not necessarily about the person holding it. Since Cody's story could easily transfer to anyone with the belt, they should have pulled the trigger on Sammy since his story relied on the characters more. It would have made Sammy a legend. Unfortunately, the timing didn't work out. Maybe Cody should have waited to return until after WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, it is all about timing, unfortunately.
Yeah, that last line about waiting to return to after WrestleMania, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
That would have been very interesting.
Yeah, could have had Sammy win the title at Mania, possibly. I mean, because again, it's not like it would have been so far out of the realm of possibility, because you had Daniel Bryan do the exact same thing at WrestleMania 30, so it's not like it can't happen.
Right. I just think like I always go back to that too. I always go back to WrestleMania 30 and how they managed to figure that out. But I think it was on that end, it was very easy. Like we have to do this or else we're gonna have a mutiny on our hands. Yeah. I don't know if Sami Zayn has that mutiny power yet.
I don't think so. Maybe for, like you said, the fact that a lot of people still love Cody. I feel like if it was like a lukewarm kind of reaction for a wrestler, like whoever wasn't Sammy, it would be a lot like more difficult. But mm-hmm. I think for the fact that people love Cody, that it lessens the blow a little bit.
Right.
But I can definitely see where Jack's coming from, because I feel like if, let's just say Cody was still hurt and he wasn't coming back until after WrestleMania, they could have very well given Sammy the title.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. Sammy could have gotten the title either way. Regardless, either if they had decided to put the title on Sammy in Montreal, that could have been a viable, you know, solution to all of this.
Yeah,
it's just
timing.
Timing. It really is timing. It's WrestleMania. Roman's about to main event his like sixth or seventh WrestleMania. He's been champion for 900 days and counting. I mean, it's just kind of it's one of those, it is what it is, and it's like you can't really be mad at how timing went down.
Yeah, it's just a shame, because you can see what could have happened, but that's kind of the whole thing, is what if.
Yeah, I mean if this was any other time, except WrestleMania, maybe it could have happened.
Yeah, maybe. It's just that I think this will go down as one of the biggest like what ifs in the like most recent memory with WWE, because
for sure.
Oh, the possibilities are endless as to what could have happened if Cody's like rehab hadn't have like went as smoothly as it did, or the fact that they're like, you know what, maybe, yeah, let's just give Sammy the title because it's a feel-good moment. So, oh, it's a lot of different things. A lot of things that played out a certain way, and if they would have played out differently, it would have changed wrestling as we know it in the current like era, so.
It definitely would have put it on its head.
Yeah, and we could have spent 2-3 episodes talking about it, to be honest. I mean, hell, we still are, because, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about the bloodline and the whole Sammy thing for a while now, pretty much.
Yeah. I would say about 6-7 weeks ongoing.
Yeah. And we're still talking about it because it's still going and still interesting and it's not slowing down. It's actually getting more and more exciting. So, yeah, I feel like you kind of do have to agree with Jack a little bit, I think, because they could have easily just given Sammy the title in Montreal, because that would have been a very good feel-good moment. But
right. I would have said give him the title and we'll figure it out when we have to figure it out. But for now, give him the title and have that feel good moment.
Yeah, but alas, it did not happen.
You could have did it where Sammy wins, mm-hmm. Roman and Sammy on night one, and then night two is Cody against whoever wins that match. That still leaves it up in the air, you know.
Yeah, I think so. They had some opportunities to do so, and
why didn't they go that way? They could have did that. They could have did that. Give me the pencil.
You see, I think you and Jack and I would have wrote an entire novel. We would have wrote a soap opera about that whole bloodline. I mean, it pretty much is. We just would have changed the ending a little bit, I think. But
yeah.
What could have been? What could have been? Now into his actual questions, which, yet again, another subtle transition. Would we consider Sammy going after the tag titles a downgrade? I think so. Yeah,
a little. I wouldn't be disappointed, because it'll still be a banger match, because the Usos are the greatest tag team of this generation.
Yeah.
But it definitely is a downgrade from going after the world title.
Yeah, I'd say so, because, again, everyone's expecting you to win the, like, world championship, and you don't, and so you're like, okay, I guess I'll just go after the tag titles. It's like, it doesn't have the same prestige to it, come on.
Right.
So, yeah, I would agree, but it would feel like a downgrade if that were to happen, which, who knows, it might happen, it might not. When will Bray Wyatt's character advance in story? It feels like it's going nowhere currently. I mean,
he's not wrong.
It's hard to argue with it, unfortunately. And we like the Wyatt character. It's just like, okay, now what?
Yeah, I like the Wyatt character. I like the Uncle Howdy stuff. I feel like we're getting 80% vignettes and cryptic messages and only 20% action.
Yeah, you know? And fans are impatient. They want the wrestling.
We said it last week. We got the attention span of an ant, so.
We really do, though. It's kind of sad, but it's just, that is wrestling fans in a nutshell, really. So, yeah, I would like to see a little more wrestling, but
a little bit more action, a little bit more wrestling. Maybe a competent storyline, because I feel like the storyline with him just playing mind games with Bobby Lashley and doing the Muscle Man dance, I don't know if that's gonna cut it.
That ain't it, Chief. That ain't it at all. And it's tough because it's like, you know, he's one of the most creative minds of, like, his generation. So it's like, we don't have to continuously prove it. Just let him do it and then just get the wrestling in there, too. So, yeah, it's sad because we know the potential it has. It's just you don't want it to overstay its welcome.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. This one, I feel like, is a very easy question by just default. What match are we more excited for? Lashley and Wyatt or Brock and Omos? I mean, I guess just for the pure fact of default alone is just the fact that I guess we like Wyatt. I would say Wyatt and Lashley because at least I have some feelings towards it. And when it's Lesnar and Omos, just apathy at that point, that's not good. So, yeah, I'll just say Lashley and Wyatt just for the sake of mind games, I guess.
I'm with you.
Because, I mean, if the worst you could feel is a wrestling fan's apathy, that's like a red flag.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean,
because, I mean, wrestling's supposed to make you feel something, and if it's not making you feel anything, that's not good.
That's true. That's true. It's all about emotion when it comes to wrestling.
And Lashley and Omos, it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing for me. So
nothing.
Not a single thing. I think another easy question. So should Walter break Honky Tonk's record? I think so.
Yeah. Didn't he already break it, though?
Did he?
I know they said in the modern era. You know what it is? Is that when you mention the Honky Tonk Man and the time frame of his title reign and everything like that, for that to be 30 years ago, is like, my mind can't process that.
Yeah.
So it's like, making me feel so old.
Honestly, though, like, it, yeah.
But you're still young. I don't want to hear it. You're still young.
But, okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Listen, I remember when that happened, okay? I remember when the Ultimate Warrior beat Honky Tonk Man at SummerSlam to take the Intercontinental Championship away from him. I watched it. I watched it happen, and for that to be 30 plus years down the road, it's just, I don't like this planet anymore. I want
Eric's over it. Eric's done.
I am. I'm done.
This is our last episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. But yeah, I think he should, because I feel like a lot of people are very high on him right now, as it should be. Yeah, I say go for it, because why not? I mean, at some point, all records are meant to be broken. usually.
For sure. And, so. he's the perfect person to do it.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you look at him and just like, oh, yeah, he could definitely break that record for sure just by looks alone. So, yeah,
I know why didn't we get Lesnar versus Gunther instead of Omos? I would have much rather have seen Lesnar versus Gunther.
Yeah, at least I would have cared because it was Gunther. So, I mean, at least we might still get Gunther and Sheamus, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, again, what could have been, and we got this instead. So, hooray! This is what we get instead. Ugh, I don't like it. Anyway, does MJF have too many backstories, or is it like the Dark Knight Joker having a new scar story to justify his actions every time? Okay, I like the reference because that's like my favorite movie of all time. So thank you, Jack, for making a Dark Knight reference. I mean, I do see where he's coming from though, because it does feel like he always has an answer or a story for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what makes him enjoyable, but again, I can see where it's like, really, can you just say, you know what, I don't have an experience with this or whatever, but it just makes MJF MJF, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's that guy that talks too much and doesn't know when to shut the hell up.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know? I guess he does it perfectly.
Yeah, so it kind of fits if you think about it. Of course, it's like, of course this guy has a story to go along with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it makes perfect sense if you think about it.
Yeah, honestly, when you put it that way, it does make sense. It's like, it's that attitude of like, of course you have something to say, because when do you not? So, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I definitely see it. So, yeah, I think that's just MJF's character in a nutshell, really. It's just, well, of course you have something to say, because God forbid you don't.
Yeah, that's basically it right there.
Yeah. I still do like the Dark Knight reference, Jack, though, so thank you. I like that one. That was a good one. All right, so we did kind of talk about this a little bit, but we can go a little more in depth. What did we think of Ricky Stark's promo? The best part was the crowd cheering when Ricky said he was done with Jericho. I did like the reverse psychology angle to it. Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, yeah.
It's Jericho.
That's the tough part about it, man. It's like
Jericho, man. This guy
never goes away.
It just, oh, it's like herpes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with it. It just never goes away.
Okay. And then, like, I read something today, not to get off topic, I read something today. Jericho said, why would he want to finish his career in WWE? AEW is the place to be. So he wants to finish his career out in AEW because everybody wants to be.
Because he can literally talk his way into winning any match, even though it makes no sense. So yeah, why would he go anywhere else? Literally.
That's when you have a yes boss.
Yeah. When you can literally be like, hey, I know this young up and coming guy needs to win more, but it really would make more sense storyline wise if I win. Like,
he's like Kevin Nash in WCW in 2000.
Oh God.
Could not be stopped.
No, he couldn't.
Not be stopped. So that's a perfect way to put it. Jericho's always politicking his way into these matches. I hope, please, if there's anything holy in the wrestling world, Ricky Starks ends up getting this win on Sunday, because if Jericho wins, I don't know.
I honestly might have an aneurysm. I'm not even joking. I might have an aneurysm if we both just might not make it to the review episode.
You might be right. This might be our last episode.
This is how we go, is Jericho, which is like
Jericho.
Great. No. Whatever. All right. So this one has been a topic of conversation in this podcast recently. How do we feel about the AEW Women's Civil War angle so far? Jack thinks he wants to like it, but it feels super campy right now. The spray paint gimmick isn't working. Feels like middle school bullies. And do we think they can get it back on track? I definitely agree with him with the paint. I'm like, why are we doing this? This is kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. Has nothing really to do with anything. It was... When it first happened, I'm like, okay, well, they took it in a direction I didn't expect them to take. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to give them that. So we'll see what happens. And now that I've seen it, I... Oh, what went wrong? it's just, I don't know. It's just, for some reason, it's just like, you, I don't remember who brought it up. It might have been one of us, or it might have been one of the other listeners, but it's like, you didn't have to make Soraya and Tony bullies. You could have just had them be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose to go the middle school catty girl bullshit, and
right.
I don't like it, because it just kind of reeks of old WWE to me.
Okay, I can see that.
But can they get it back on track? Well, if we got rid of the spray paint, that would help. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I guess it also kind of depends on what they're doing with Ruby, but I have a very, very, very bad feeling that they only threw her in that Magic Revolution so she could eat the pin.
Ooh.
Which is going to make me sad, because you literally had all that momentum for her going after that hardcore match. And because, I mean, are you really going to have Soraya lose already? And you're not going to have Jamie lose the title. At least I would hope not, for God's sake. Like, please don't have Jamie lose the title already. We can't do that. That would be another thing where we'd have an aneurysm if Jamie loses.
Yeah, I don't want Jamie to lose, even though I am enjoying how they're building up Ruby Soho in all of this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in all of this chaos with these mean girl bully angle that they're doing, Ruby's focus has always been on the title.
Yeah, and if they wanted to, they could easily make it. If she were to choose, you could easily see it going either way, because you could see her going with the fact of like, oh, well, I technically came from another company too, so I'm considered an outsider, I suppose. But then you could also say that, hey, this isn't how we do things here in AEW, so why are you pulling this? But yeah, I don't want to be right, but it really seems like it's the only alternative, because you can't see Soraya taking the pin, and you sure as hell can't see Jamie taking the pin, at least I hope not. So it's like, by default, Ruby's there, and I will be very sad, but I just wish that they would like fully commit to Ruby, because I feel like it's kind of the thing where they kind of stop start where mm-hmm. you have that high point of that. I mean, clearly she was the star of that hardcore match with her and Willow, and then like clearly she was the star of that match. I mean, she was the only one, I think, beside Anna Jay that ended up bleeding, so you had everything right there. And the fact that she may just be in that match just to eat the pin makes me very sad. And I don't like it, because she could easily be a champion. For God's sake, she could have. I still say to this day, she should have been the first TBS champion. And I will stick by that till the day I die, because she should have. But yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe she could go back and go after Jade again, because at this rate, who the hell else is left for Jade that isn't named Chris Statlander? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's like what I was saying earlier about the women's division. It's like there's bodies, but there's no depth.
You know? I mean, literally, like I guarantee you, if you go onto the website and just randomly pick a name, there is a very good chance that you'll be like, oh yeah, I saw them on Darker Elevation. And that's it. Or if you were to look at a random insert, like, member of the roster here and be like, hey, when was the last time you saw them on a meaningful program on Dynamite or Rampage? You'd be like, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really, I mean, I'd like to say Abaddon, but I think she's hurt, so I can't really use Abaddon.
I was thinking Abaddon too. That's funny.
But even then, I think she was maybe that Halloween match with Britt last year. Was it last year? Or was it hell? I think it might have been 2 years ago, but other than that, she was always on Darker Elevation, and then you still haven't. Yeah, I mean, you're just starting to see Yuka Sakazaki again, so I mean, that's good. We're still waiting for Riho, wherever she's been. Who else?
Shida,
yeah. Where the hell's Shida been? And you have Madison Rayne, and all you ever do is put her on Darker Rampage. So that's kind of weird. You have Nyla. All I've seen her on is exclusively Darker Elevation, so
I haven't seen Serena Deeb in a while.
Yeah, maybe she's hurt. I hope. Yeah. Just for the fact of not that she's just disappeared. Like, that's the only reasonable explanation.
Yeah.
Abaddon's obviously hurt. I think if I remember correctly, I thought I saw on her Twitter she had said something about her being hurt, so that sucks. But yeah, it's just like, when you can literally almost on one hand name the women you see on Dynamite every week and Rampage, that's not really good. And you can't count the people that Jade Cargill just runs over for the sake of padding her record. Like, Sky Blue, okay. Yeah. Like, Sky Blue's good from the little bits and pieces I've seen on, like, again, Dark and Elevation. She seems pretty decent, but you see her on a card and you're like, oh, okay, who's beating her? Like, you don't think she's actually going to win.
Yeah, she already has that loss attached to her.
Exactly. So it's like, when you can look at, again, it's that, I think that's just like Dark and Elevation in a nutshell, where you pretty much can look at the card and be like, ah, yes, I can go 7 for 7 on how these matches are going to go. It's just, I get that it's just to get me people more exposure, but at the end of the day, that's all it ever is, because 9 times out of 10, they don't make it to Dynamite or Rampage.
I can't disagree with you there.
So I don't know. It's just, it's...
I think you surmised it perfectly.
Yeah, that's all I got, to be honest, because it's like, what else is there to say?
I couldn't surmise it any better, because to me it's just the women's division is confusion. It's just confusion. Yeah. It's just chaos. It's all over the place.
I mean, literally, let's just do this now for the sake of the test. Let's count on our fingers. Let's say we got Britt, we got Jamie, we got Saraya and Tony, you got Jade. Am I forgetting anybody?
Willow.
Yeah, sometimes. So yeah, 6.
So, yeah, you said Ruby already, right?
Oh, no. Okay, so 7. The fact that we are literally having to struggle to get even 10 people is not good.
Yeah, it should be automatic.
Yeah, not, okay, well, like, I guess she's there kind of, but not, like, all the time. And, yeah, it's what it, well, poor Willow, she had all that momentum going for her, and now look what happened. It's just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I don't know. And then it's like, you got to figure in, like, Ring of Honor's coming back, too. Yeah. So a lot of those women might be pulling double duty.
Possibly.
You know?
We have so many questions and not enough answers.
So many questions, not enough answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get into a full-on rant about that even further, that was all of Jack's questions. So, Jack, thank you again for the questions and the rant. We appreciate it. And our final 4 questions are going to come from Mike, our good friend Mike. Funny enough, as we just mentioned it, where's Serena Deeb, FTR, Cameron Grimes, Boa, Dana Brooke, Shanky? I feel like he could have added a lot more. I think like FTR is just taking time off. I know that for a fact. Serena Deeb, we asked the same question. Where has Cameron Grimes been?
Last I read on the internet, so again... I'm going to say this every time I say the internet.
Just make sure.
Don't quote me on it, but last I read, they said that they just want to bring him up to the main roster. They just don't have anything created for him.
Okay.
So maybe I'm assuming maybe after WrestleMania?
Yeah, it might be, because right now it seems like he's just in creative purgatory.
Yeah.
Dana Brooke. I feel like she was on the Rumble, and that's about it.
Dana Brooke is Dana Brooke.
Yeah, Boa, Shanky, who knows?
Whatever happened to Boa?
I don't know, because, I mean, they had the whole Tian Shaw thing, and then that kind of just disappeared,
Disappeared, yeah, and then he just disappeared himself.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he absorbed the powers of whatever her name was.
Yeah,
Wendy Chu. He absorbed Wendy Chu's powers. He became mystical, and then he just disappeared.
Yeah, so he did a disappearing act. So I guess that was his magical power after all. I don't know. Once again, so many questions and not enough answers. So Mike supposedly saw on a website that the AEW roster, counting Ring of Honor, has about 180 to 185 wrestlers on it. For a promotion that has only 3 hours of TV time at the moment, how big of a roster do you think they should have? Because WWE, with NXT by comparison, has 7 hours of TV and has 230 to 235 wrestlers. On top of that, do we think WWE has too many people on the roster as well? I feel like for WWE, they have a lot of people, but not in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
they have a lot of men's talent, but we've said how many times that the women's division needs bodies, and I mean, they've got a couple, but not as many as they could have, I guess.
There's a clear unbalance.
Yeah, kind of same with the AEW women's division, too. It's just, well, actually, then again, they have bodies, they just don't use them, like, at all.
Yeah, they don't. And the thing is, they can go out and get bodies like crazy. Because if you look at the talent that they bring in for Dark and Elevation, they're just bringing in talent. But
yeah,
some of those talent can be used more frequently.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's just me. As far as, like, bloated rosters go, if WWE has a bloated roster, you wouldn't know it.
No, not at all. Because, I mean, I feel like the WWE has a good, like, hierarchy of, you know how these competitors are. These are, like, the mid-card talent. These are, like, the comedic relief. These are, like, the upper mid-card. These are, like, the main eventers. And you can kind of tell. And then you go to AEW's side where you're, like, on paper, you look at some of these names and you're like, oh, yeah, this should be a main eventer. This should be, like, up in, like, in the upper card. And then they're, like, on Dark and Elevation. So it's like, what's going on? It's confusing.
It is confusing. It's just, I mean, it boils down to experience. You know, yeah. Tony Khan is taking a lot on his plate. And if he says he can handle it, he can handle it, I guess. You know, I don't know the guy. It's just, you know, but he says he can handle it, then.
Not really. I mean,
you don't think so?
If he says he can do it, he's not really doing such a good job right now, because you're still having problems struggling to hit 1 million viewers. So,
yeah.
Consistently hitting 1 million viewers. So, yeah, it's. How different would it be if AEW and WWE both had the same amount of TV time? How different would things be?
Mm.
That's not actually Mike's question. That's my own question. I added my own question into it.
I get that. That's a very good question. You know, because that's the problem with AEW is that they don't have a ton of TV time to showcase people. Because like a lot, you can go and watch Dark and Elevation on YouTube, but the reason some people, yeah. Just some people just don't go ahead and do that, you know?
We don't have the time. Let's be honest. We don't have the time.
So imagine if they did have the same amount of TV time, would we even have the time to watch it?
Oh, God. I don't think so. Because sometimes it's hard enough just to watch everything as it is. And you add even more to it. It's like, guys, I need free time, please.
Yeah.
So,
That's my main reason why I can't watch all the wrestling in the world.
Yeah, me neither. It's just, there's enough stuff to do outside of wrestling that you don't want it to encompass you, because then that's when you get burned out, and then that's when we have problems. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's, yeah. In regards to how big of an AEW roster they should have, I think it should be smaller, obviously, at least just for TV time alone, because you can't have 180 to 185 on top of Ring of Honor and only have 3 hours of TV, because then that's what happens when you have a barely there women's division. And it's like, still has that problem I've noticed of within 2 minutes of them coming back from TV, like, commercial breaks, so you go straight to the finish. So it's like, it's not working. You need to have, like, a slimmed down roster, because then you could at least try to showcase different people all the time. And you can't count Dark and Elevation because it's on YouTube and not everyone watches it, like you said. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's just not good.
Not good at all.
Well, this could be a controversial question, maybe. Does Sable go into the Hall of Fame this year?
Ooh, Sable.
Yeah. Oh, that's, know. Yikes, that's a tough one.
I can imagine you weren't a Sable fan.
I honestly, I don't think I was even into wrestling back when she was in like the 90s, right?
Yeah, she was like the Attitude Era.
Okay, well, that was my problem. I didn't come until like, I feel like if we go by timelines wise, I didn't really come into like the Ruthless Aggression era, because I was more like early 2000s.
Yeah.
We'll just say anywhere from 2004 to 5, I think, is kind of when I got into it. So that was definitely like the Ruthless Aggression era. But from what I can surmise and from what I've, you know, seen on like specials and just like research in general, it's a little tough because when you put so much value into the talent of the wrestler, I'm not... How do I word this without sounding mean? You can't say that she wasn't talented. It was just not what we're used to today. So it's very tough because by standard WWE standards now, the answer is no. But I guess you can't also ignore, I guess, what she contributed to the Attitude Era back in the day. I don't know. I think I feel like you're more well equipped to answer this than I am because I was maybe. Well, let's see. I was born in 96, so that should tell you something.
Ouch.
Yeah, so I don't really think I have a whole lot of experience in the Attitude Era except from just, again, research and watching A&E specials and listening to my mom talk about it. So I don't.
Yeah. Well, to me, like Sable, I think should get in basically on the simple fact that like maybe she wasn't the first original diva, like maybe Sunny or something
Yikes.
And Sunny's in the WWE Hall of Fame, by the way. I think she did more to solidify the diva era. Like she made it a real thing, you know, maybe not with the championships or anything like that, but the diva where like, it was clearly all about her looks, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, sadly, you know, that was just in a nutshell.
Yeah. It was clearly all about her looks. I will say when she did have that wrestling match where she teamed with Edge against her ex-husband, Mark Merrow and Luna Vachon, I believe. The crowd was behind her, and then when she hit that power bomb, they popped like crazy. You know, so like they put her in good positions to elevate her to the crowd. The crowd definitely wanted to see her. They were all about Sable. So I think on that alone, being that she was one of the original divas, original sort of, you know, eye candy, arm candy. Sort of, not really, because she wasn't really a valet. She was like her own personality. And that's another thing, too. She was one of those to step out of the valet role and become her own personality. You know, so yeah. I think she deserves a spot. I mean, like I said, they gave freaking Sunny a spot in the Hall of Fame. So yikes. Why not Sable?
Well, you know what? Erica spoken. Like I said, I don't really have a lot of... say, I mean, again, just from what I've seen, I wouldn't say you almost have to, but it's just, you kind of can't deny what she brought to the Attitude Era back in the day. It's just, you kind of have to, it's so tough because that just wasn't obviously, even back in like when I started getting into wrestling, that wasn't really my era of women's wrestling. It didn't obviously start until like Paige and them came in. So
right, because there really wasn't. I mean, not that there wasn't any wrestling during the Ruthless Aggression era. There was, but it was sort of campy.
You know, I feel like wasn't the only... all about...
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, nowadays, the women's wrestling is all about the athleticism, what they can do in the ring, how can they put together a good match. Basically, what you would expect from the male wrestlers, you know?
Yeah.
There's no difference for the female wrestlers. Back then, especially, there was no women's wrestling in the Attitude Era. And then along came, like, Trish and Lita.
Molly Holly.
And then it kind of transitioned into the Ruthless Aggression Era, where it was kind of, like, in between, you know?
You got glimpses of it.
Yeah. There was definitely the potential to be like, this could be a really good wrestling division. But they kept doing little different things that kind of brought them back.
Things we don't want to talk about on air.
Because right now wrestling for the women, I think wrestling for women is in a good place. It could be better.
Yeah.
But it's better than what it was.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in it, so that should tell you something.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so tough because, again, I feel like depending on the era you grew up in, it could be a very different answer. Like, if you grew up, like, in the Divas Revolution or Women's Revolution era, you could have looked at Sable and be like, absolutely not. Why would she get in? But it's like, you kind of have to look at it objectively and be like, yeah, but back in the day, that's what the women were known for, and she did it very well. As sexist and misogynistic as it was, that's what it was back then, because it was a completely different time. It was the 90s, so yeah, it's based off of just what it was back then, I guess you have to say yes, that she belongs in the Hall of Fame. But just by the today's standards, no, but you kind of have to look at it objectively and be like, yeah, you could say yes, there's a case.
Yeah, I think she has a case. I think for the way she kind of revolutionized her own way of doing things and becoming her own sort of person in this industry, she wasn't a wrestler or anything like that, but she definitely understood that she was the eye candy of everything, and she played her role very well.
Yeah, it was all about the sex appeal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's that is what it is, I suppose. All right, so Mike's last question and our last question of the evening, as far as I can see, I'll double check to make sure. He said, so Danielson threatens to kick the shit out of MJF if he references his kids, and then proceeds to let MJF talk about his kids. So what gives? I feel like that's just kind of wrestling, rivalries wrestling. In a nutshell. It's like,
yeah, that's wrestling for you.
It's like, don't do that, and then you do it, and then it's an all-out brawl. So it's like, were we really surprised? No, not at all.
No. What made me laugh is they were doing a pull-apart brawl, and I guess MJF or somebody had a hold of Danielson's shirt, and they yanked the shirt, so it looked like it was, like, superimposed on his body.
Yeah, it was something.
What a pull-apart brawl was that? It was something. I am so, when it comes to this match, it's an Iron Man match, which I love Iron Man matches. Bryan Danielson's probably, well, my current favorite wrestler on the planet, because he's just Bryan Danielson. Yeah. But MJF in an Iron Man match, I don't know.
Do
you really see him losing his first title defense?
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either, which is, again, why I find it very odd that Danielson was his first challenger, because most people were saying that he would have been the one to take the title from MJF. So the fact that it's his first challenger is kind of like, what? So,
I mean, it would be cool to see Danielson win, you know, because, like I said, he's my favorite. So, like, but I don't see it happening. As far as, like, referencing the kids, that's the low-hanging fruit that I was talking about.
It's like, don't do that. And it's like, okay, so you're going to tell MJF not to do something because you're going to be mad. It's like, of course he's going to do it. That's just how he is.
Yeah. I guess that's your explanation right there.
Like, are we surprised? No, not at all. It's just, yeah. Not at all. That's just how it is, but I do believe that is it, I think. I think we got through all of them.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun talking about wrestling, as we do here on the show. For any new listeners out there that have made it through this far, this is basically what we do. Our listeners send in their questions. They want to ask us a couple things and get a couple things about wrestling off their chest as well. So they come to this show to have a voice to what they want to say. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do here at the Ringside Rundown Podcast. For anyone that wants to send in questions, all you got to do is hit us up on social media. Before we do an episode, maybe a couple days before to a day before, I'll ask you guys to send in questions, comments, rants, opinions on anything wrestling, and you just hit that reply button and send it in the replies. You can also send it in the DM form if you want to. But check us out on Twitter at Ringside Rundown and on Instagram at Ringside Rundown. Again, both handles are the same. Twitter, Instagram, at Ringside Rundown. That's where we ask you guys to send in some questions for us to answer on the show. And you guys do a really, really good job. So thank you guys so much for sending in your questions.
Yes, we always appreciate the questions. And it's always a fun mix of funny, sometimes just like random. I wouldn't say, yeah, I mean, I guess like kind of random. We like the ones that kind of like spice things up a little bit. Like just questions today with the music. Like I've been waiting for someone to ask that kind of question because I have very fond, strong opinions about the wrestling music. So those little ones we appreciate too. We like to sprinkle in the little casual questions.
For sure. So yeah, if you have a question of your own that you would like us to answer on the show, or if you have a comment or a rant about anything wrestling that you want to have voiced on the show, all you have to do is hit us up on social media at the Twitter or Instagram handle at Ringside Rundown. If you want to talk to us individually, I'm available on Twitter at Wrestling Cron. That's Wrestling Chron. Shay, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHixon21. Normally talking about all kinds of things. So yeah, I always always appreciate some good wrestling banter. So yeah, hit us up.
Yeah, definitely check her out on Twitter. You can check out this podcast. It's available thanks to Anchor.fm, Anchor.fm/Ringside Rundown. And through Anchor FM, the podcast is distributed all across the board, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts, this podcast is available. If not, all you have to do is find us on social media at the links that I mentioned earlier, and we will deliver the podcast to you on a silver platter with a link. So you can listen to the podcast and find it on your platform of choice.
Still got it. Still waiting.
Still waiting. Still there for anybody who can't find the link to the podcast. It's available. But like I said, it's available all across the board on the internet. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just search Ringside Rundown and you should be able to subscribe there. Thank you for subscribing and listening to the podcast. Thank you to anyone who takes the time out to listen to the podcast and send us a word on social media about what they think of the show. It is greatly appreciated. It helps us get better weekly, you know, and this is episode 73. We have no signs of stopping. I'm just having a good time. I know you are too.
Oh yeah. It's always a highlight of my week when we get to do this.
Definitely. Well, that concludes this week's episode. For Shay Hixon, my name is Eric Vasquez. We shall see you next time where we're going to be talking about AEW Revolution. Are you excited for the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, we got a couple decent matches. It's just a matter of, are we going to even live to see it if Jericho beats Ricky Stark? So, you know, we'll find out.
You'll hear me screaming all the way here in Jersey, all the way you'll hear it in Pittsburgh, no problem.
Yeah, you'll be hearing a lot of screaming, guys. So maybe we, hopefully that doesn't happen, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll see you next time here on the Ringside Rundown Podcast. Take care, guys.
See you guys.